right, we are holding on Hofkes on the bays 8 lines from the bottom by the one dot, line with Stremea. Okay, we were talking about the situation where a person is traveling on a dangerous road. We had Rabbi Yeshua had set a nusach for him to say in the Mishnah. Then we had a Braisa that brought a couple of other different nuschos. We set according to the Tzlach. There are actually two different cases. One was dangerous in general. The other was specifically wild animals or bandits. Most of the other Mephoshim don't hold that way. But it's just we just go according to what it said in the Braisa. Okay, so let's talk more about this concept of a person traveling and what tefillah he should be saying at the time. So Eliyahu Hanavi says to Rabbi Yehuda, the brother of Rabbi Salah the Chassid, so apparently Rabbi Salah was better known, this Rabbi Yehuda was better known just as the brother of Rabbi Salah. Or maybe it means that Rabbi Yehuda himself was the Chassid. Whatever it is, anyway, Eliyahu tells him three pieces of advice. Number one, Sirtach v'leitechti, don't get angry. And then that way you won't come to Averis, because the person gets angry is the source for many Averis. Sirtach is Moshin Rosach, like boiling. Don't get boiling angry, yet. And similarly, Siri Vloisechti, don't get drunk, and then you won't come to do Averis. A piece of advice number three, when you're about to go on a trip, or when you're starting to go on a trip, he molech b'koin chavatzei. Get permission, actually, Himalik literally means consult with. Himalik literally means consult with. Like we had Imus before, but Rashi over here explained, Tol Rishus, get permission, the koincha from the one who created you, namely Hashem, let's say, and only then go out. So my Himalik, the koincha, let's say, what does that last phrase mean? How do you consult with Hashem? How do you get Rishus from Hashem before you go? Amr of Yaakov, Amr of Chista, Zut Tfilas Haderech. This refers to saying Tfilas Haderech. You have to say Tfilas HaDerech before you go, when you're starting out on a trip. So one idea, in what way is that consulting with Hashem? In what way is that, like, so to speak, asking Hashem's advice whether you should go or not? So one idea is that if a person, you're going to be saying Tfilas HaDerech, asking Hashem to protect you on the way and make it successful and whatever. So if you're going for something that's against what Hashem wants, if you're going for an Aveira or whatever, that itself is going to tell you, you know, how am I asking Hashem for success when I'm going on something that's opposing. So that itself will make sure that you're going on a way that Hashem approves of.
Two things are different. You know that you won't have from an avera, you won't do it if you say tefillah avera. Doesn't mean Hashem is going to approve it.
No, but the point is, in other words, that at least you make sure that way, and at least you're making sure that your road, that your travel is for a purpose which Hashem would approve of. In other words, you realize to yourself, you think to yourself, and realize that you're not, if I'm planning to go for a Dvar Avera, then the fact that you have to say Tfilas HaDerech should hold you back from it. But aside from that, also, you have a couple of other explanations. The Shalach Kaddish says, avort, we're going to learn at the end of the next parak, we have the famous story of Rav Chanina ben Doisa, where when he would daven for people, he would know on the spot whether they're going to live or chas v'shalom the opposite, if he's davening for a sick person. How? Because it depends whether his tefillah would flow fluently or not. If it goes fluently, then he said, I know Hashem has accepted my tefillah, and if not, then not. So the Shalach Kaddish says, all Gemara may mean the same thing, that if a person sees that Tfilas HaDerech flows smoothly, then he knows he's going to be successful. If not, then it's a simen min hashamayim, that not necessarily.
So that Tfilas only works by him because he's a
tzaddik. So the Tzlach actually says, you're right, that only works by tzaddikim of that caliber. So therefore, he says that's why this was a particular piece of advice that Eliyahu said to this Rav Yehuda Achor de Rav Salah. For the rest of us, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, you have to say Tfilas HaDerech. It's not just a matter of advice, but the Gemara is going to discuss that first the Gemara is going to bring an opinion that you say it b'loshin yochid, and then Abaye is going to say that, no, you say it b'loshin rabbah, which is the way we say it. So the vote is, the Tzlach says, if you're on the level like the Chanina ben Doisa or like the Yehuda, then fine, by all means, you can say it singular, you can say it b'loshin yochid, and then you know if it flows smoothly versus not. For the rest of us who are not on that level, that's not a simon for us, min hashamayim, better we should just be saying it b'loshin rabbah anyway. So for that, it's in the fly. Okay. The Amr of Yaakov, Amr of Chista, Kol HaYotzel HaDerech, Tzorech Leisfal Tfilas HaDerech. It's not just a piece of good advice. When a person is traveling on the road, he has to say Tfilas HaDerech. my Tfilas HaDerech, what does Tfilas HaDerech consist of? You say like this, Yirotim Lofanach Hashem Lekai, Shachelicheni L'Sholem, that you should let me travel in peace, v'tzatideni l'sholem, and make me walk, m'meloshen ha'mechim mitzadei gover, l'sholem, v'tzismicheni l'sholem, and support me for sholem. On the side of it here, Goethe Agro also adds, v'tzatideni l'beitzi l'sholem, return me to my home in peace, which we say that only if we're returning on the same day, v'tzatideni mikach kol oyev v'orev v'aderech, save me from the hands of any enemy or any enemy that would be lurking, that would be ambushing me on baderach, on the road. V'sishlach bracha b'masa yaday, and send a bracha into the works of my hands. V'sitnei v'cheinu v'chesed rachmim, and make me have grace and kindness and rachmim ve'enecho ve'eneko roya, in your eyes and in the eyes of all those who see me. Kiyata shemeya, baruch atah Hashem shemeya k'vila. Omer Abaya, but Abaya says, La'olam l'shakef inish nafshi b'hadit tzibura. Abaya says, that's not really the right lashon. You should, when you're saying a tefillah like this, you should be saying it in a way that you're combining yourself together with everybody else. So don't say it for lashon yachid. Heichi neima, how should you say it? Instead, you should say, Yirotim l'fanach Hashem alekeinu, shetelicheinu l'sholem, etc. So the whole thing should be in plural.
That's what we say.
With the exception of, if you notice in the Siddur, you'll see that it says over there, when it comes to the Sitnei, it says Veloshin Yachad, and there's a marginal note saying that's how it's supposed to be. So what is that? Because there's a Sefer of Kabbalah called Sefer HaKana, which says that Al Pi Kabbalah, you should be saying that word Veloshin Yachad. He explains over there in Kabbalah Bikaosius why you should be saying it Veloshin Yachad. And so that's how the Magen Avraham brings it, and Alfred Eber brings it, and this is how we do that. We say that one word Veloshin Yachad. The whole rest is phrased in the plural, but that one word you phrase in the singular. There are, by the way, sichas where the Rebbe talks about. I mean, there's explanations all the way back from the Alter Rebbe that talk about how tefillah sederach is not just a tefillah that we say on the road; it's also a tefillah metaphorically about how a person goes through life. And we ask Hashem to save us from the dangers that lurk for our neshama or whatever. So in particular, Shatelichenu l'shalah, that means that we should, that everyone's talked about, that we should be able to accomplish what we were sent down into the world for. We should be able to walk through the world and accomplish what we need to. And the Vesachdirenu l'shalah means to help me do tshuva. So, and then, in a different sikha that I've talked about, when a person is acting in that way, then v'sitnei, then he gets his own personal chen v'chesed v'rachmim from Hashem on an individual level, not really.
It's interesting, those days, when it was important, you used to go to the Midbar, we say, Chaisai's Baderech.
Yeah, that's true. The Gemara doesn't quote it over here.
Now we use for taxis for other drivers, but like those days.
I read a cute story once by Chanuch Teller about this, about the Chayas Rois Baderech and Tzolot Baderech. He tells a story that one time there's a young man in Eretz Yisrael going in a taxi, and he's saying Tzolot Baderech. So the taxi driver, and it's Israel, everybody understands Hebrew, so he hears him saying Chayas Rois Baderech, and the taxi driver is not yet a Frum Yid, starts laughing. What kind of Chayas Rois Baderech are there on the roads around here? As they're driving, and if it was in Yehuda and Shomron, maybe, but yeah, this is, I guess, within the green line, as they call it, you know, whatever. Anyway, what happened, as they're driving along, all of a sudden this pesky fly comes in through the window and starts flying around the driver and distracting him, and he almost runs off the road. He finally has to stop by the side of the road and shoo out the fly and then continue. And then he turns to the younger man and says, okay, now I understand.
That's a quick answer.
Yeah. So, okay. Okay, the Gemara says, Emas Masri, at what point does a person, what does a person say, Tzilat Baderech? Omer Rabbi Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Chista, Mishosh Mahalach Baderech. He says that when he starts going on the road. Now, there's a taz that says that actually a person can even say it when he's in the city, but he's decided already to go on the trip. Most of the poskim don't disagree with that, though. They say you have to say it only after you're outside the city, which is how we know you. So wait, we'll get to that. Hold on. Okay, yeah. Ad kama, up until what point? So there's two explanations. Rashi says what the question is, and we'll see what the answer is. So let's first see the answer. Amr of Yaakov, Amr of Chista, ad pausa. So the answer is up to a pausa. So Rashi has two explanations. One is that it means that you have to say it within the first pausa after you left the city, but not after that. And then Rashi quotes from the Halachas Gedolos that what it means is up, what's the minimum length of trip for which you have to say Tefillas HaDerech is a parasa. But if you're going to be going or travel less than a parasa, then you don't have to say this tefillah. Because we assume, and Meforshim explained, because then we assume a trip that short is not particularly dangerous. Lamaisa in Shulchan Aruch, we have Lamaisa in Shulchan Aruch at Paskin, like that second explanation, that if you're traveling on a trip, which is a parasa or longer, then you say Tefillas HaDerech. If it's less than that, not. You don't necessarily say it within the first parasha. You say it, and you say it sometime. In fact, it's brought that Eved Hashav would travel approximately, when he was traveling, would travel approximately a parasha 4 versts, which was a Russian measurement. It's about the equivalent of 3 miles or so, and then they'd stop and take Tefillas HaDerech. There is also, there's a bit of an interesting discussion among the Achronim, what about nowadays when travel is much faster? Does it mean a parasa in distance, or does it mean the amount it would have taken in those days to walk a parasa, which is 72 minutes? Well, on my side, I think everybody is knowing that as long as the trip is at least a parasa, then you take Tefillas HaDerech. It also has to be, by the way, that it's outside the city. It has to be that's outside the, and the city doesn't just mean the boundaries of the city, you know, as it's defined on maps. It means where it stops being built up. So, for example, with New York City, you'd have to go a considerable way out of the city before you say Tefillas HaDerech.
Right, they're on top of the Russian bridge, but you're hanging between two points.
So
water.
That's right. So, for example, it mentions in Binyan Desha when it describes that Eber's visits to Gan Yisrael up in the Catskills, they would take the 87 and then they take the Tappan Zee. So the Eber would say Tefillas HaDerech after they cross the Tappan Zee, because at that point you're for sure at that point the Tappan Zee is a few miles wide. At that point you're definitely outside the built-up area. How do you say it? Do you have to be standing or not? Rav Chista says you have to stand. Rav Shesha says that you could even say it while you're walking. So the Gemara tells an example. Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes Havu Ka'azli Barucha. One time Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes were traveling on the road. Come Rav Chista v'kamasli. In the middle, Rav Chista stopped and was standing there and davening. Omle Rav Sheshes l'shamei ma'ika ovid Rav Chista. So Rav Sheshes was blind. He didn't see what's going on, but he felt that they'd stopped, or he felt that Rav Chista had stopped or whatever. So he asked his shamish, what is Rav Chista doing? Omle koyu ma'atli. So the shamish tells him Rav Chista is standing there and davening. So Rav Sheshes tells him, in that case, Oikman Namu Lididi, in that case, help me stand up and I'll say Tefillas HaDerech also. It's true that I hold it's not necessary. Oikman Namu Lididi Va'asli, stand me up also and I'll daven Tefillas HaDerech, because as the Pasuk says, it's not actually a Pasuk, it's a paraphrase of a Pasuk, Mi Yos Tov Al Tikre Ra. When you're able to be good, don't be bad. In other words, since I am able, I hold that Lahalacha, you don't have to stand, but nevertheless, since I'm able to stand, because anyway, Rav Chista is standing, then let me better do that, even though technically it's mutter.
Why should he assume that he can stand if Rav Chista is
standing? Because if Rav Chista is standing, it means they're anyway having to wait, they're anyway having to delay their trip a little bit for Rav Chista to finish Tefillas HaDerech. So in other words, Rav Sheshes is saying, if, for example, you're on a trip, you want to get going, you don't want to be bothered with stopping, then fine, you're allowed to say Tefillas HaDerech while you're going, but. So in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about that, yes, you are allowed to say Tefillas HaDerech sitting. You're not required to stand. However, you have poskim that say, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that at least you should, if you're going in a horse and wagon, as they did back in those days, at least you should stop the wagon from going, unless like you're in an extreme rush or something. Now, you mentioned about saying it after davening. So you mentioned about saying it after davening. Some people say, so the verse is like this. In Shulchan Aruch it brings that Maharam Rutenberg would always make sure to say Tefillas HaDerech after another bracha. So for example, he'd be after Shachris, if that was the situation, or he'd eat something, or he'd go to the bathroom or whatever, because Tefillas HaDerech does not begin with Baruch. So it begins, you hear after Melchanecha. So therefore, in order that it should have the din of bracha, smocha l'chaverta, a bracha that immediately follows another one, therefore he would do like that. Mm-hmm. Now, is that really necessary? So many of the posts can say, based on what Maharam Rutenberg says, yes. On the other hand, you have opinions that say it's not really necessary, because it's not really a bracha per se, it's more asking Hashem for rachmin. In fact, Rabbeinu Yonah, on the Rif, in the back of Or Masechta, says, why did the Chachamim not set it up to begin with Baruch? Because, he says, the end of it is Shemei Atfila, Baruch HaTashem Shemei Atfila, which is the same bracha that we have in Shema Keleinu and Shemei Esrei. There it's a bracha smocha l'chaverta, and therefore it's not necessary for it to begin with Baruch. So here also it's not necessary for it to begin with Baruch. So you have, many people are particular about that. On the other hand, On the other hand, for example, the Rebbe, when he would travel, would not make a point of that. In fact, again, in Bnei Zeshe, it mentions that, for example, they would offer the Rebbe something to eat or whatever, and he declined it. Because so Dayan Raskin and his sitter have a whole discussion about it, and he says maybe what it is that when you say there's a difference between the first day and the rest of the days, which we'll talk about in 1 second. So here we're talking about you saying it on the first day, then it's not necessary for it to be a bracha smukha l'chaverta. The Alter Rebbe says as much in the sitter actually, that when you're saying it on the first day that you're traveling, then it doesn't need to be smukha l'chaverta. You're allowed to say it by itself. Now what happens? Right. Because it's basically a bakasha rather than a bracha. Now what happens the rest of the days you're traveling? Most of the poskim say that when you travel the rest of the days that you're traveling, you have to say Tfilas HaDerech every day. There is an opinion of the Pri Chodesh who says that no, you just say it the first day and that's it. The Alter Rebbe combines both of those opinions and says in Shulchan Aruch that you should say Tfilas HaDerech with Shema Malchus on the first day, and the rest of the day you say it without Shema Malchus. Even now, so that says even if one of the other days you're staying in a hotel. So it's not just that on the days you're traveling, but every day that you're away from home, you say it without Shema Malchus. So then the idea is, so Dayan Raskin mentions in the Siddur, that then there's more reason to make it a bracha smucha l'chaverta, because then you're not even saying it with Hashem's name, so then at least it should follow some other bracha, so it has some, so it can be considered a bracha somehow. Okay, getting back to, we mentioned, okay, this was a side thing. We mentioned Tfilas HaDerech because we're mentioning traveling on the road. Okay, now let's get back to, we mentioned in the Mishnah about davening Havinenu, about davening the short Shmoneh Esrei, where you have one bracha Havinenu that includes the 13 middle ones. We also mentioned about the Tfilah Ksara, we talked about the short Tfilah that a person davens when he's traveling through a dangerous area. But the question is, my Ikka Ben Havinenu L'Tfilah Ksara, what's the actual difference between them? What are the differences between them in Halacha? So like this, number one, Havinenu Boil Tsuluya Gimel Kamaisa Vigimel Vasraisa. When you're davening Havinenu, you start with Tosfos says, I mean, as far as there's a practical difference. Tfilas Ksara, you only daven when you're in a dangerous place. Havinenu, you can daven even when it's not such a dangerous place. But the question is, each one in its time, dangerous versus not dangerous, what other differences in halacha are there between them? So Havinenu Boil Tsuluya Gimel Kamaisa Vigimel Vasraisa. You have to start out with the first three brachas of Shmoneh Esrei full until Akela Kodesh, and you end it with the last three brachas full, beginning from Ritzei, and then you say Havinenu in the middle, V'chimati L'beise, and if you arrive home, even though it's still during the time of that particular tefillah, Loi Boil Medel Tsaluya, you don't have to daven over again because you would go to that particular tefillah with Havinenu.
So Ritzei has...
And right, so those are the three brachas. As opposed to if a person is staying in the Tfilah Ksara because he was in a dangerous place and he can't even have the kavana to be able to say Havinenu, Loi Bori L'Tzaluya L'Gimel Kamaisa V'L'Gimel Vasraisa, you don't say the first three and last three brachas of Shmoneh Esrei with it. You just say the one paragraph which we said the halacha was, well, not Havinenu, no. No, that's Havinenu. Sure. Havinenu. Tfilah Ksara. We're talking about the one that in the Mishnah we said Hoshah Hashem Asamcha, and we said the Halacha actually is like the Achirim. Then instead you say Tzorchi Amcha Yisro Merubin. Those two lines. Tzorchi Amcha Yisro Merubin. Writing Ksara, etc. So you don't preface those with the first three brachas. You don't say the three brachas after them. V'chimati the base day. But when you come home, Boi Lamedu L'Tzaluye. Then you have to daven again because you will not Yotze Shmoneh Esrei with that. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, let's say by the time you came home, it was already too late, then it's considered like the same case as it would be if you missed a tefillah. We learned at the beginning of the parak that if you missed a tefillah, bonus or whatever, then you dive in two of the next one.
Yeah. So these two sentences are what
it's meant to be. So we said, so Chayam Chayisro, Merubin, Rizim, Ksara, Yerosim, we quoted it in the Gemara yesterday. Okay, so that's the difference. So those are the differences. Havinenu goes with the three brachas before and after, and it takes the place of Shmoneh Esrei. So Chayamcha does not go with the first three and last three, and it doesn't take the place of Shmoneh Esrei. The Hilchasa, and another point, the bottom line halacha, is Havinenu Ma'umar. If you're going to be davening Havinenu, you have to be standing and saying it, just like real Shmoneh Esrei. Tfilah Ksara, Ben Ma'umar, Ben Mahalach, as opposed to if you say in the Tfilah Ksara, the Tzorcha Amcha Yisrael, you can say that when you're standing or when you're walking, or when you're traveling. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, we said if a person is riding on a donkey when it comes time of Shmoneh Esrei, so the Mishnah had said he should get off the donkey, and if he can't get off the donkey, because, for example, Rashi said he has nobody to hold it for him, then he can daven while he's sitting on the donkey. So turn around, we learn in a brisa. Hoya roish kabbalah chamor. A person is riding on a donkey. The idea is not tefillah, and it's some time for davening. Im yesh lemishid yoiches as chamor. If he has somebody with him who can hold on to his donkey for him while he davens, yered lamasa biyispalo, that he should go get off the donkey and daven. Vim lav, and if not, yeshiv bimkayim biyispalo, then he can sit where he is on the donkey and daven. Rebbe says either way he can sit where he is and daven l'pishen daikim yeshavas olav, because either way his mind is not clear on him. Why is that? So therefore he's not going to daven with such kavana anyway. Because why is that? Rashi says because it's hard for him to wait up. It's delaying his trip. Amar Rav v'itemer Rav Shurban Levi halacha k'Rebbe, because of the trouble with delaying his trip. Therefore he's allowed to daven sitting. In Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that, let's say, for example, you're traveling with a caravan and it happens that you happen to have gotten ahead of them a little bit, then you do have to stop, actually, as long as you have somebody to hold the animal for you. Because then you don't have the excuse that the delay is bothersome, because you anyway have to wait for them to catch up. As far as in later times, when you're traveling in a wagon, or nowadays you're traveling in a car or whatever, so ideally you stop and you get up and you daven Shmoneh Esrei. If you can't, you are technically allowed to daven Shmoneh Esrei sitting, although it says in Shulchan Aruch, if at all possible, you should at least get up for the parts that you need to bow, because you can't bow sitting. One interesting thing, it brings to Shulchan Aruch also about the case of riding on an animal, what happens when it comes to stepping out at the end of Shmoneh Esrei? If you need to, you have the animal step back 3 steps, and that counts as you're in that camp. We learn in a braisa, summa, a blind person, so he doesn't know which direction is which, or somebody, a regular sighted person, who is not able, who doesn't know what direction is which. So what does he do when it comes to davening? Which direction did he face? He should have kavana that he's davening to Hashem. In other words, whatever direction it is, I don't know what direction is Yerushalayim, but I'm davening to Hashem, and my tefillah should go through the Beit Mikdash. You have in Shlomo's tefillah, we mentioned yesterday about Shlomo's long tefillah that had 24 runonos in it. So in that tefillah, Shlomo is describing various scenarios when a person is davening to Hashem and coming to the Beis Mikdash, or davening towards the Beis Mikdash from a faraway country, etc. So in one pasuk he mentions the Yispalu al Hashem. They daven to Hashem, implying it doesn't matter what direction they're facing. So that's the scenario over here where the person doesn't know what direction to face, so then he's not obligated to pick one direction and say, okay, there's a 25% chance I'm right. He just davens in whatever direction he's being. You're supposed to daven towards Yerushalayim, but here we're talking about somebody who doesn't know what direction Yerushalayim is.
Right, but he says that if you don't know which direction, just have in mind that.
That's the point. That's what we're saying. You have a limit, can I get over Yerushalayim, right?
That's all over.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right. This is based on in the Mishnah. We said that, again, we said when the person is riding on the donkey, that if he's not able to get down from the donkey, then at least he should face the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Face Yerushalayim. Actually, Tosfos says when we said the halacha is like Rebbe, it means the person does not have to face Yerushalayim. He just continues going in whatever direction he's going. He's not obligated to face Yerushalayim in that case.
Right, that's in the middle of traveling.
Because we said he's in the middle of traveling, and the tircha of having to stop would be bothersome for him. Then we said in the Mishnah that, for example, a person is on a ship or in an asda. We said he has his feet locked up, or he's in a raft or whatever. Right. So this is also the case. So a person is blind, also a person who doesn't know what direction is what.
So how does he position
himself? No, he just positions himself in whatever position and he has in mind that my tefillah should be going through the Beis Mikdash to Hashem.
He doesn't have to look up. Yeah.
Not, well, we're going to learn in the next parak, actually, that when a person is davening, he should have, it's called Einav Lamata Uponav Uvalibri Lamaila. He should be facing with his head, with his eyes, facing a little bit downward, but his heart, his mind should be upward towards Hashem. Yeah. Hoya Oymid Yerushalayim. I skipped. Hoya Oymid B'Chutz La'aretz. If a person is standing in Chutz La'aretz and davening, Yechaven Eslidu Keneged Eretz Yisrael. He should have in mind to be facing Eretz Yisrael. Here Tosfos says you don't have liboy because we're talking about that he actually has to face his face towards you, towards Eretz Yisrael. So you have to face in the direction of Eretz Yisrael. So this is why, we live more or less west of Eretz Yisrael, which is why we face east. As we know, in, you know, places, for example, where you're pretty much north of Eretz Yisrael, then you daven more or less south. The Alter Rebbe describes, for example, where they lived in Russia is almost north of Eretz Yisrael, not quite. So therefore, he says, like, you daven he's down in like southeast, like mostly to the south and a little bit to the east. Yeah. But by us, we dive in mostly towards the east. So you dive in towards the east. So Shenema, as you have also in Shlomo's Tefillah, V'yispallu elecha derech artzam, they will dive into you by way of their land. How you omen be'eretz Yisrael, if the person is within Eretz Yisrael itself, Yechaven es libe k'neged Yerushalayim, then he should be positioning himself so he's facing Yerushalayim. Shenema v'yispallu al Hashem derech ha'ir asher b'charta, same Tefillah, he says that they should dive into Hashem through by way of the city which you chose. Now, what it means is, by the way, for example, when we're davening in Chutz La'aretz, it's not only that we're having in mind Eretz Yisrael, we're having in mind, we're turning towards Eretz Yisrael, and within Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim, and within Yerushalayim to the Beis Mikdash, etc. Hoya Omid B'Yerushalayim, the person is davening in the city of Yerushalayim, Yechaved es libe k'neged Beis Mikdash, he should be facing towards the Beis Mikdash, Shenema v'yispallu al ha'bayit hazeh, they should daven towards the south. Hoya Omid B'Beis Mikdash, if a person is standing in the Beis Mikdash, which of course, unfortunately, we don't have nowadays, should be the Hei Re'emeinu that we do, then you should daven Yechaved es libe k'neged Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, then you face towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Shenema v'yispallu al ha'mokim hazeh, because Shlomo also says in his tefillah, they should daven towards this place. What if the person is davening in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Now, how is that? Either it means the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, either it means the Kohen Gadol once a year on Yom Kippur, or Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, you also have, it was possible for a person to be, workers. If a worker is coming in during the year to fix something in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have the famous boxes they would send them down in. What if it comes time for davening when he's in there fixing something in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Then he's davening right there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So then, Yechabenes Libre can get Beis HaKaporis. Then he should be concentrating on that he's facing towards the Kaporis, towards the lid of the Orin, which is where the Shechina spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from. What if the person is standing in the area of the Beis Mikdash behind the Beis HaKaporis? So you have, there's the Heichel, and then behind the Heichel, between the Heichel and the western wall of the Azara, there was an 11 Amah space. So what if he's standing in that 11 Amah space? So then, then he should picture himself as if he's in front of the Kaporis and be davening in that direction. So in general, Nimsa, so it comes out like this. If a person is standing in the east, he faces towards the west when he's davening. But Ma'ariv maks upon of the Mizrach. And if he's on the west, he faces towards the east. But Dorim maks upon of the Tzofen. But Tzofen maks upon of the Dorim. Nimsu, Ko Yisrael, Machavna, Nasalibam, Lamakim Echad. So it comes out thereby that all the Jewish people are all having Kavana and all facing in one direction when they're davening. They're all facing towards the Bismarck. Amr of Oven V'Temer Abavina, Maikra, where is a pasuk that expresses that idea that everybody should be davening in the direction of the Beis Mikdash? Pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, K'nigdal David Savorich, your neck is like the Tower of David, Bonu L'Talpios, built for Talpios. So Migdal David Savorich, he refers to the Beis Mikdash. The Beis Mikdash, we know, is referred to as the neck. We have, for example, the famous thing where it says that Yosef and Binyamin cried on each other's necks, because Yosef was crying for the Bate Mikdash, that are going to be in Binyamin's territory, that are going to be destroyed. Binyamin is crying for Mishkan Shiloh, that was in Yosef's territory, that's going to be destroyed. So the Beis Mikdash is called the neck, because it's almost at the highest point in Eretz Yisrael, just like the neck is almost the highest point in the body. Also, if you consider it, it talks about the idea the neck is what brings the ashfa from the head to the rest of the body, and therefore that corresponds to how the Beis Mikdash brings down the ashfa milamayla to the whole world.
The head is the highest
one. The head is the highest one, but the Beis Mikdash is not in the highest point of Eretz Yisrael. We have a Gemara in Zvachim that mentions that when Shmuel and David were doing research to figure out where the Beis Mikdash should be, they were going to figure out that it should be in Ein Etam, which is the highest point in that area of Eretz Yisrael, and then they realized, based on Sukkim, that no, it should be slightly lower. That's why the Har HaBayis is slightly lower than some of the other hills and mountains around it. Okay, anyway. So
it was much higher than it's now.
Well, that may also be, yeah. So Kamizgal Zavat Tabar Bonim with Talpios. What's Talpios? Hill Shekol Pios Ponim Bo. It means the hill where all mouths turn towards it. Tail Pios. So that's where we learn that all mouths should be facing, all people should be facing Yerushalayim when they're davening.
So Talpios in general refers to what?
So the symbol meaning of Talpios is a lot of explanations. It means majesty, it means glory, it means a beautiful thing for the army, whatever. But the Gemara's Darshan are going to be here Talpios. It's one of those words that you find only one time in all of Tanakh.
Okay.
So those kinds of words, the Gemara often tends to doubt.
I was going to ask if we say the slickest of other kinds of words.
The word tapirus, I don't know. Could be. That's true. Tail tapirus, a shiner, that's true. Yeah, we do say that's true. Very good. There's a neighborhood in Yerushalayim nowadays called tapirus. They named it after that. Okay. Right. Onward. Okay. Talking more about traveling on the road, the Gemara says, Avur de Shmuel the Levi, Shmuel's father and Levi, ki avu boi lemeifak la'urcha. If they had to get on the road early in the morning, have lemeifak means to go out, la'urcha, on the road, have a makadmi umatli, what they would do is they would daven Shmona Esrei earlier. Now, it was before the time of Shema, and Rashi over here on the surface at least says that it was actually even before Alois HaShachar. So that's not yet time for Shema. It's not yet time for Shema. The time of Shema, as we learned in the first parak, is Mashiachir, when you're able to recognize a casual acquaintance 4 amos away, which is a little bit later. It's between Alois HaShachar and Nefesh HaChama. So they would first daven to an Esrei. Tosfos disagrees with that and says that no, it doesn't mean that they would daven before Alois HaShachar, then for sure they're not Yotze. It means that it was after Alois HaShachar, but it was before the time of Kriyat Shema. So whatever, they would say Shema Esrei. Later on, while they're on the road, when it came the time of Shema, then they would say Shema. So the Gemara says, Kaman, which opinion did they follow in doing that? Kihai Tana. They followed the following Tana that we learn in a Braisa, the Tanya. Hishkim Motis Laderach. If a person is getting up early to go on the road, and he's not going to have the opportunity to do the mitzvah of the day later on. So, for example, Mavian lo shofar v'tekeya. So they bring him a shofar and he blows it before he leaves. And your shofar is on Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, you're not traveling very far on Rosh Hashanah, but at least you could travel to the end of the Tum. So let's say he's going to be traveling on Rosh Hashanah. He's going to have to be going to the end of the Tum. And once he comes there, there's not going to be a shofar available. So then, even though it's after Alois HaShachar, then he's already able to blow a shofar. Even though ideally, shofar and most of the other mitzvahs of the day, you're supposed to do only after Nes HaChama, but b'dieved, you can do them after Alois. This would be an example of that.
It wouldn't be a shofar that you blow between...
So he wouldn't be blowing the shofar during Musa. Right, we're just talking about those...
It wouldn't be blowing shofar that you are Says
Metrova
or something like that. That's
never. I says Metrova. Metrova during. I says Metrova. You mean?
No, I mean.
You mean during Elul?
Yeah.
During Elul is a minute.
It's a
minute. Yeah. Okay. So they bring him a chauffeur. They bring him a chauffeur, and he blows it, and then he sets out on his trip. In other words, even though it's earlier in the day than he usually should, because it's after Alois HaShachar, it's not yet after Nes, but he can do that. Lulav Menaneya, if it's Sukkot, they bring him a lulav and he waves it and then goes. Megillah Vakodebo, if it's Purim, they bring him a Megillah and then he reads from it. Again, even though it's before, all these are before Nes HaChama, and on the side he would add Umis Spalil, or in our case, you daven, which is what Avur de Shmuel and Levi are doing. Uchshiyagiyaz Man Kriya Shema Kodeh. Later on, when it comes Mishiyakir, and it's time for Shema, then you say Shema. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, Hishkim Leisha Bakorin, if a person gets up early and he's not going to be walking, he's going to be sitting in a coach, in a wagon, over Sfino or in a ship. Also, same thing, the Spalel, he should daven Shmona Esrei first, because he should be able to daven Shmona Esrei standing before he leaves on the trip. And when it comes time for Shema, then he'll say Shema. Because the point is, in other words, according to this Tanya, as we're going to see in a second, better he should be standing for Shmona Esrei. So even though it means doing things out of order, Shmona Esrei first, then Shema, nevertheless, this kind of feels better to do that, because that way at least he's standing, which standing gives you more kavanah. Yeah. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, no, Ben Kach or Ben Kach, Kor Kriya Shema Mispalel. Either way, Rav Shimon Elazar says, no, the right order is first you say Shema, then you daven Shmona Esrei, Kadesh Yismich Geula L'Tfila. So this way, you can finish Gal Yisrael and begin Shmona Esrei like you're supposed to do. So the Gemara says, what is the underlying machlokes? So like this, Mar Sabat Tfilah Ma'umad Adif, the Tanakama holds that it's better to daven Shmona Esrei standing up, because that gives you greater kavana. So therefore, you should be davening Shmona Esrei out of order. So you daven it before you go on the trip, and that way you're able to stand and have kavana. That means you're not going to be able to get to say, Gal Yisrael, you're not going to be saying with Gal Yisrael. Okay, that's less important, says the Tanakama. Umar Sava Mismach Geula L'Tfila Adif, as opposed to Rav Shimon Elazar holds that it's better to put Geula next to Tfila. So even if that means that you're going to have to first Shema then Shemana Esrei, even if it means that you're going to have to say Shemana Esrei sitting.
What is the problem with saying early Krishna and Tfila, and then later on Krishna again?
Ah, so 1 second. Let's see. Well, because I mean Krishna, because if you're going to be saying Krishna early is one thing, but if you're going to be saying it with its brachas, the brachas are the brachas. You can't just say any old time. You have to also say at the proper time. Otherwise, it's going to be a bracha l'akolos. So that's what we're going to talk about. Wait. Okay. So the Gemara tells, Marema umazutra. Marema and Mazutra, their situation was like this. Rashi describes. They were both the darshanim in their respective cities. Then you have, so now you have a Shabbos, which is called Shabbos de Rigla. You have the Shabbos of the Yom Tov, which means the Shabbos before the Yom Tov. So Shabbos HaGadol before Pesach, and the Shabbos before Sukkot for Sukkot. On that Shabbos, they would be giving droshes, long droshes, in the halachas of the upcoming Yom Tov. Now, the way they would usually do it, Rashi describes, is that the people would go to the Beis Medrash early in the morning, before even the time of Kriyat Shema. When it came the time of Kriyat Shema, people would go out one at a time or two at a time or whatever and say Shema in order to be able to say it in the Zman. Meanwhile, the Darshan is still continuing Darshaning. And when it came to Shemana Esrei, also everybody would daven individually. They would not have a minyan for Shemana Esrei because the Darshan is busy teaching the people the halachas of Yom Tov in great detail. So now, Marema and Mazutra themselves, they wanted to be able to daven with a minyan, but what are they going to do? They don't want to interrupt. They can't interrupt the drasha for it. So have a mochanti be'asara b'shabbos of the regla. So on the Shabbos of the regal, on the Shabbos before Pesach or Sukkot, they would gather a minyan together for themselves, umatzlu, and they would daven Shemana Esrei. V'hodur nafi l'pirka, and then they would go out to this pirka to darshan the drasha, which is going to take several hours. So this way, they were able to daven with a minyan, even though it was earlier than usual. On the other hand, Rav Ashi, who was the Rosh Hashiva in Masa Machasya, and he also had the same kind of thing where there's going to be this long drasha, which is going to take several hours. So the way he did it was different. What he would do is he would daven Shemana Esrei while the tzibur is there, but he would be davening individually without a minyan and while he's sitting. Meaning, Rashi describes like this. We know that in those days, a Rosh Shiva, when he was giving a drasha, would have a maturgam on who would explain the thing in detail to the tzibur. So what he would do when it came time for Shema and Shemana Esrei, what he would do is he would say a long thing to the Meturgamon, which is going to take the Meturgamon a while to explain. So he would say he would tell him a thing that lasts 5 minutes or something. He would tell him something that the Meturgamon's explanation of it is going to take, like 10 minutes or whatever, you know. And then during that time, he would be sitting there and saying Shema and davening Shemana Esrei. He didn't want to go out, because we're not to be Matriach the Sibur, to stand up for him. But like this, he would daven Shema and Shema Esrei while he was there sitting, while the Meturgamon is standing over there and explaining what he had just said to the people.
So why couldn't, because if he stood up,
because if he stood up, then everybody would stand up. Another explanation that we're showing him say, I think the Ritva says, is also because if he stood up, then everybody would realize he's not following what the Meturgamon is saying, and then they would be saying, oh, how can we know we can rely on what the Meturgamon is saying? He's making up his own thing. As opposed to when Rav Ashi is sitting over there, they realize that he's still focusing on what the Meturgamon is saying and will correct him if necessary.
Some degree of kavana,
but wait, it still wasn't complete kavana. So therefore, you have an osula base. So when Rav Ashi eventually got home after the drasha, hoder umatzli ma'uman, then he would daven Shemana Esrei standing again, because the first time he had not davened it with full kavana. So that's the rest. Amrilei Rabbanan. So Rabbanan asks Rav Ashi, why are you doing it that way? The Levid Ma'av Kamaremo Mazutra. Why don't you instead do like Marema and Mazutra and do like they did, which is you daven earlier with a minion, and then that way you're not having to daven Shemana Esrei twice. He says to them, Trichali Milsa. It's a tricha for me that we should delay the drosha until I daven. I don't want to do that. So the question is, okay, so why don't you do like Avor de Shmuel and Levi did, where we said they would do things out of order. First they would daven Shemana Esrei, and then later on, when it came the time of Shema, they would say Shema. I did not see the Chachamim who were older than me of the previous generation, in other words, who acted that way. In other words, the halacha is not like what they were saying. The halacha is, we said that they were going like the Tanakama of the Braita, that it's more important to daven Shemana Esrei standing than it is to be Mismach Go'ol L'Tfila. He says, we don't hold that way. I didn't see the Rabbanon of the older Rabbanon acting that way. They would always say Shema then Shemana Esrei first. So that's the proper way of doing things.
Just had now.
Smicha is more important.
So smicha is the goal of tefillah's more important.
Now, and nowadays, something like this happened, so they would be included, like the Daf Yomi said, they had everyone got mechit together. You know,
that's true. Right.
Put into the program.
They put him into the program, right? But I guess in those times, they didn't. Right. Well, it's the same difference. So it's the same.
You're now speaking now.
Right. Okay. So now, so Tosfos brings from the Bahag that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar. The more important thing is to be soimach geula l'tefillah. So you can daven Shemoneh Esrei sitting or even going on the road if you need to. Ideally you should be standing in one place, but if you can't, then on the other hand, Tosfos says that Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, paskins like a board to Shmuel and Levi. Even though, so he says, like most of the Tosfos says, that you can do tefillah and smicha gula l'tefillah out of order. In Shulchan Aruch, actually, it says that in principle, that should be the halacha, like what Rabbeinu Tam is saying, like what Avraham Shmuel and Levi did, that you should. If you're in a situation like that, better you should daven Shemoneh Esrei standing before you go on the road rather than say them in the proper order, and then you're going to have to say Shema while you're sitting and walking or what have you. However, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the velt is not noyig like that. The velt is noyig to do it in the regular order. Shema and then Shemoneh Esrei. One reason being, nowadays we don't have such kavana anyway. In those times when they had tremendous kavana, then you have to deal with the question: should you be saying that standing, sitting, or whatever? You have greater kavana when you're standing. Nowadays, realistically, we don't have that kind of kavana anyway. So therefore, we might as well at least get geula l'tefillah in the order, in the proper order.
Right. Somebody could be more comfortable sitting if you're like on a bus or someone downing. You have more kavana sitting than standing. Also.
Well, maybe that's that also. Mishnah says,
and with according to this whole Shakulatara, it's going to damage the Mishnah Krishna, you can't say because all the bracha starts too early, but Shemoneh Esrei saying it early.
So Shemoneh Esrei, you're allowed to say after Alos HaShachar. Shemoneh Esrei, you're able to say it after Alos Krishna, you have to wait till Mishiyaku.
Which is a little later.
Which is a little later, yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, we've talked about the various other tefillahs, now let's talk about Musa. Rav Elazar ben Azariah Omer, ein tefillas hamusafin ela b'chever ir. There's no tefillas musaf, the takana, to daven musaf, on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, whatever, is only when there's a chever ir, which means when there's a tzibur. A person does not daven musaf b'yachin. A reason for that, Rabbeinu Yonah says, is because, look, what is musaf? It's not unlike the other tefillas where we're asking Hashem for our needs or whatever, or okay, even the ones Shabbos and Yom Tov, Shachas and Hamayr, we're not asking Hashem for our needs, but still, they're in the place of tefillas that we do. But musaf is purely to correspond to the korbanos, and the korbanos were korbanos tzibur, so therefore, there's no reason for a yachid to be saying it. The chum say no, you say musaf whether there's a chever ir or not. The Rambam, by the way, has a different understanding of chever ir. The Rambam teaches chever ir as the rov of the city. So when the rov of the city is there, which is when the tzibur is there, then you daven musaf. If not, then not. The Tzlach talks about that. He says that the idea behind that would be because the korban musaf, the korban, not only it was a korban tzibur, like Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, but also we know the whole Jewish people couldn't be there. They'd have representatives, the anshei maimed. So therefore, the rov is like the rov and the tzibur with him are like your representative. So if you have nobody to represent you because you're biyachid, fine, you daven musaf by yourself. But if the rov is there, then he daven, he and the tzibur daven, the chazan, the word says it, and everybody is yotzei. Okay, the chum said there's no such distinction. You say musaf whether you're biyachid or b'tzibur. Rabbi Yehuda oimim mishmoi, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, kol mokum sheyesh sham chever ir, whenever there was a chever ir, when in any place where there was a minion, yachid potter mitfilos hamusafin, and a yachid is potter for musaf.
Because
he's just yotzei with the tzibur. So the question is, Rabbi Yehuda hainu Tanakama, the Gemara asks, isn't Rabbi Yehuda saying the same thing as the Tanakama? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had said, which is the Tanakama, had said that tfilos musaf is only bechever ir, so you don't daven it bechider. And Rabbi Yehuda is also saying if there's a chever ir, then a yachid is potter. So what's the difference? Well, the answer is yichid benayu yachid shalay bechever ir. The difference would be, what if you're a yachid and there's no chever ir in the city at all? In other words, so Tanakama, Sava Potter, the Tanakama, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, no, the whole takana is only when there's a minion, no musaf. So even if you happen to be in a city where you're the only person davening, let's say, then still no musaf. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that, no, when there's a tzibur in town and the chazan is being mostly people, then you're yotze with that. But if you happen to be in a city where there's no minyan, where there's no chever at all, then you have to daven it yourself. Who is the halacha like? Amr of Huna Bachinina Amr of Chia Barav. Halacha can be Huda, Shamar Mashum of Laws of Anatai. The halacha is like Rabbi Huda, that, which don't, that's not the end of the discussion yet, so hold, cool your jet. Yeah. So the halacha is like Rabbi Huda. If there's a minion in town, then you potter from Muslim. If there's no minion in town, then you chayv. Amr of Chia Barav, Shafir Kamr, said Rabbi Chia Barav tells Rabbi Chia Barav, you said well, what you said is correct. We see that the Amos Shmuel, because we find that Shmuel says, "Mi yomai lenatzlina slusa de mesapin biyachid." It never happened throughout my life that I daven musa biyachid, because binahauda in the city of Nahauda, because there's always a tzibur there, so the chazan always passes me.
Right, but that's
the thing. But that's the point. In other words, that so usually he wouldn't daven musa because the tzibur is davening, so he himself does not have to daven it. The chazan is mosi him. Levar me'ahuyoyim. One second. Except that's according to Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. One second. Levar me'ahuyoyim. With the exception of one day, the Asa Pol Musa de Malka Lamasa, when an army of the king came to the town, came to Nahada, Vatzridu Rabbanon, so Rabbanon were distracted and harassed by the soldiers or whatever. Veloy Salu. So that day they were not able to daven with a minion. But Salu Bibi Yochid. So Shmuel says that one day I daven Musa for Yochid. Vahavoy Yochid. Shalai b'chaverir. That was a case when I'm a yochid and there's no minion in town davening. There's no tibur in town davening. So therefore we see.
But
they're not that. They're not getting a minion together. They're not davening with a minion. They're davening b'yachid. So the point is. So we see from that that yes, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. When there's a minion in town davening, then they're mostly the yochid, and a yochid davening at home, for example, does not daven with them. When there's no chaver ear, when there's no minion in town davening, then everybody has to daven it for themselves. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rav Chanina Kora Kameid Rav Yanai. Rav Chanina Kora one time was sitting in front of Rav Yanai. Rav Chanina Kora was called that. He was an expert in Tzukim, in Mikra. And in particular, his job was, his parnasa was, he was a Malamed. He taught children. So he taught them Chumash. He taught them Chumash and Tanakh. He was one, but he was also one of the Amoroyim. We find him quoted in a number of places in Shas, saying to anyone, whatever. So he was sitting as a Talmud, Kameid Rav Yanai, in front of Rav Yanai. The Yosef Ka'ama Halacha Rav Yehuda Sha'alim Mishumar B'Loz Ben Azariah. He's also saying the Halacha Rav Yehuda. Omer Leis, so Rav Yanai tells him, like very dismissively, Puk Kra Kra'ich Levara. Go read your psukim outside. In other words, like he's playing off his name, Rav Chanina Kora. You're the expert on psukim, but take what you just learned and teach it outside the Beis Medrash. It doesn't belong in the Beis Medrash. The Ein Halacha could have Yehuda Shalom Mishum of Lazar Azai. The Halacha is not like him. The Halacha is like the Rabbanan, in other words. That, okay. And we have another thing from which we see Rav Yanai's opinion. Om Rav Yechanan, Aniro Isias, Rav Yanai, Ditzali Vahodot Sali. I one time saw Rav Yanai was Rav Yechanan's Rebbe, Daven Shemana Esrei, and then Daven Shemana Esrei again right after that. Now, why would he be davening two Shemana Esreis in a row? Must be. One was Shachris and one was Musaf. And that was the Yochid. So we see again that a Yochid davens Musaf, whether there's a Chever Ir or not. That would be, again, not like Rav Yehuda, not like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The Tzach explains why we need both things. One tells us that he doesn't hold like that. One tells us that he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and the other one tells us he doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar either. He holds like a Chachamim, the middle opinion in the Mishnah. Okay. Amalei Rabbi Yirmi Rabbi Zera, but Rabbi Yirmi asks Rabbi Zera, how is there a proof from that? Just because Rabbi Yechanan saw Rabbi Yanai davening twice in a row, what does that prove? The Dilma Meikra LeKiven Daitei LeVasayf Kiven Daitei. Maybe orders he davened Shemana Esrei the first time. He didn't have proper kavana, so he had to daven again.
Like
we said, yes. Amalei, so Rabbi Zera answers him, Chazi man gavra rabba de kamasid alei. Look at who's this great person who's giving aegis on it. In other words, we're not talking about Stam, some person comes and says, one day I saw Rabbi Yanai davening twice in a row. We're saying that Rabbi Yochanan said it. Rabbi Yochanan knows we're going to learn halacha from what he's saying, so he makes sure to figure out what the exact circumstance was. And therefore, when he tells us that Rabbi Yanai davened twice in a row, he meant for us to understand that that means Shachris and Musaf, and that it was B'yachid, etc. Because he took care to check out the exact situation so that we could learn an actual halacha. He could exclude the case that Rav Yanai said it because he's just repeating Shemana Esrei because he wasn't mechaven the first time. By the way, technically in Shulchan Aruch it says that's the din. If you didn't have kavana in Shemana Esrei, or at least in the first bracha of Shemana Esrei, technically you have to daven over again. Lamaise, it says in Shulchan Aruch, we're not generally knowing that because who says we're going to be mechaven any more the second time around than the first? Okay. More on this topic, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, Afagav Dehavolohu, twice the Beknishta B'Tveria, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, even though there were 13 shuls available to them in the city of Tveria, which is where they lived, Loi Havu Masli, Elo Beinei Amudei, they would only daven between the pillars of the Beis Medrash, which is Heicha Dehavu Garsi, which is the same place where they would sit to learn. The same place they would sit to learn. So we learned this in the first parak about the importance of learning, of davening where a person learns. There's a point about that this should be the same thing. You have a machlokas rishonim, why it's, whether, how that's relevant to our Gemara over here. Are we saying, therefore, that even, are we saying that they didn't daven with a minyan, even though they could have gone any to any of those 13 shuls, because they held that you can daven musaf b'yachid, again, like the Chachamim in our Mishnah, and therefore they didn't go to one of the shuls, because they preferred to daven where they're learning in order to spend less time away from their learning? Or does it mean that they actually gathered a minyan together over there? We talked about on Dapres that technically in Shulchan Aruch it says that if a person is Torosayum Nosay like them, then in principle they can daven without a minyan. They're not required to go to shul. However, it says that you shouldn't make a habit of it because then people are going to learn from him not to go to shul, and the whole local shul, the whole minyan is going to fall apart.
So in Ashkenaz they used to have this shila
and Beis Medrash.
And Beis Medrash. Why did they separate both if the purpose is to do both together?
So if you're Torah or Nosei, then you should be doing both together. But then the Olam. Well, this is Rav Ami and Rav Asi. This is regular people. Regular people would learn in one place and they daven in a different place. Okay. It's fine. Okay. So okay.
Everyone should daven.
Not necessarily. Okay, but there's different levels. I mean, not everybody learns Torah that much anyway. I mean, you have the Bala Esek who just learn, you know, Perek Echad Shachar or Perek Echad Arvis. They don't necessarily
eat. Yeah,
yeah, well, okay. All right. Continues the Gemara. Getting back to the question of who the halacha is like in our Mishnah, Itmar, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbeinu Omer, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said in the name of Rabbeinu, which means Rav, Rashi says, halacha, he says, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda shalom mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you would daven, that if there's a minion in town who's davening musaf, then you the yachid apotu, even if you're davening at home. Tosfos over here has a girsa that, no, he's saying, ain halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, so rather the halacha is like the Rabbanon, and he says, in fact, that's tackle why we're bringing in Rab Ami and Rab Asi's thing, that they would daven the yachid between the pillars, again, to show that the halacha is like the Chachamim.
That
you daven musaf regardless. You always daven. You daven musaf even if you're biyachid, whether there's a tzibur in town or not. Right. Okay. Rav Chiya ba'Aba sali b'hodot sali. Rav Chiya ba'Aba one time daven Shemana Esrei and then daven another Shemana Esrei right after that. He said before we had with Rabbi Yanai, we said Rabbi Yechanan checked into it and figured out that it was Shachris and Musaf. But here Rav Zera wasn't sure why Rav Chiya ba'Aba had done that. So he asked him, why did you do that? Did you do that because the first time you said Shemana Esrei, you didn't have Kavana, and therefore you're davening again? The question is, a person should always evaluate himself before he starts Shemana Esrei. If he's able to concentrate when he's davening Shemana Esrei, you follow, then he should daven. And if not, he should not daven. You, Rav Chiya ba'Aba, obviously must have done that kind of cheshbon nefesh ahead of time to know, so why did you have to daven twice? Yeah. So maybe it is because it's a shchodesh, or one of the other days when you have, it's a shchodesh, and you forgot to say yalav yavoy. The question is, v'hatanya, but we learn in a brisa, tov lehiskil shorah shchodesh ba'arvis ein machzirino. So if a person forgets and does not say yalav yavoy in ma'ariv, we don't make him repeat Shemana Esrei. Mipnei sheyochal la'omra b'shachris, because he's yet going to have shachris the next morning where he's going to be able to say yalav yavoy. Hold on. We're going to see soon what the halacha on this is, but wait.
No, was it shachris or
is it machzirino? Wait. The shachris ein machzirino. So if he misses yalav yavoy during shachris, he does not have to repeat Shemana Esrei. Mipnei sheyochal because he can still say it in Musaf. But Musaf in Machzir knows you can say Yochel Oimer b'Mincha. And if he misses it during Musaf, he doesn't have to repeat it because he's yet going to say it in Mincha. So this was either Ma'ariv or Shachrit or Musaf. So why are you having to daven again? Amalei, so Rav Chiya ba'Aba answers him, Lav Itzman Allah, don't you know that there was said about that, to clarify, Amar Rav Yechanan b'tzibur shanu. That only applies if the person is b'tzibur. So why b'tzibur is there a difference? The Rashi gives two explanations. One is because since he's going to be able to hear Chazorah Tashat, then therefore he can be yotzer with that. So therefore he doesn't have to daven over again because he's going to hear it from, he's going to hear Chazorah Tashat and he's going to hear it, which is not the case. Right. The other explanation, Rashi brings from the Bahag, is we don't mean the tzibur over here doesn't mean the individuals in the tzibur. It means the chazan. If the Chazan himself forgot Yalav Yavoi in Shemana Esrei, then he does not have to repeat it because in the Hoicha Shemana Esrei, that is in Chazaras Hashas, he doesn't have to go back and repeat Shemana Esrei because of Tircha de Tzibur, because it would be too much of a Tircha for the Tzibur for him to have to daven all over again. So therefore, the Pia Ba'ak. Well, that's true, but nevertheless, they're still because of Tircha de Tzibur, we're not going to make him daven Shemana Esrei over again. So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings that. So first of all, as far as the actual halacha, we're going to get to at the very end. We're going to right at the end of the parak over here. We're going to be discussing there's a difference between a Shchodesh night and day, so we'll get to that soon. In general, if a person forgets something in Shemana Esrei, as we learned yesterday, he has to go back. He has to repeat Shemana Esrei, as the case may be. There is an exception where, if there is an exception when it comes to Shachris and Musaf, since Shachris and Musaf, a person davens adjacent to each other, so if a person misses it in Shachris, so if a Chazan in particular misses it in Shachris, then he doesn't have to go back, because soon he's going to be saying Musaf and mentioning Rosh Chodesh in Musaf. If by any tefillah that he doesn't even have to go back to Rasei in that case. If by any other tefillah we don't make him daven the whole Shemana Esrei over again because of Tircha de Tzibur. But if he remembers before he finished Shemana Esrei, then he has to go back to Rasei. That's not such a Tircha de Tzibur. Lamaisa, I don't know that that's noyig. Lamaisa, I don't know that you have that nowadays. If a person misses Yalav Yavoi, everybody's going to be yelling at him. Yeah, so he's not going to forget. Yeah. He has to leave, but I'll post it on mine. Okay. The Mishnah said, we said that we have cases where a person davens Shemana Esrei twice in a row, for example, where it's Shachris and then Musaf, or where he davened and didn't have Kavana or made a mistake or whatever and has to daven over. The question is, Kama Yishev ben Tefillah L'Tefillah? How long of a delay should there be between one Tefillah and the next? Yeah. Well, not necessarily repeat. Again, it could be Shachris and Musaf. Rav Huna and Rav Chista. So Rav Huna and Rav Chista argue about that. Chad Omer, one says, the amount of time is, Kadesh Tishchoinen Daite Olav. Long enough for him to be able to be in a frame of mind to be able to speak Veloshen Tchina. We said yesterday that tefillah is supposed to be tachanunim, that tefillah is supposed to be in a frame of mind, and with wording and with an expression, whatever, of tachanunim, like you're begging Hashem. So it should be long enough that you're able to say the next tefillah with that same frame of mind of tachanunim. The other one says, Kadesh Yitzcholo Daiti Olav, long enough for him to be able to plead with Hashem. Meloshen Vayichal Moshe, as the Moshe says. The Rashi says there's no actual argument between them. They're just, each one is using a different Loshen based on a different Chosid. The Aruch says that maybe not necessarily. There could be a difference. Shetischon and Daiti Olav means long enough to be able to have Tachnunim. Shetischol Daiti Olav means a longer amount of time than that, means the amount of time to be able to get in a frame of mind to ask Hashem to forgive him for his Averis. Meloshen Mechila. Okay. Manda Omer. Well, it means Meloshen Meloshen Mechila.
Yeah.
You have the expression "v'aschanan." I pleaded with Hashem. So we see that there's a concept of davening associated with pleading. That Moshe begged. So again, according to Rashi, there's no actual difference between them according to the Aruch there is. Okay. Amar of Onan. Amar of Onan. Tavlei hizkir shorish chodesh arvis. If a person forgot and did not say Yalav Yavoi in Ma'ariv. We don't make him go back and repeat Shemana Esrei. No, this is halacha. But wait, lefisha ain't based in mekadshin as a chodesh el bayon because based in can only be mekadish l'chodesh by day. What happens therefore? So in other words, the edim come. What happens is the edim see the moon on the night going into Rosh Chodesh. Early in the evening, before the moon sets. The next morning, they come to Beis Din, and Beis Din cross-examines them, etc. So, and only by day do they declare it Rosh Chodesh. So by night, it was only retroactively it was declared Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, the Yalav Yavoi is not so to speak, not really part of Rosh Chodesh yet. Amar Amemah, but Amemah says, Mistabra Milsa de Rab, Chodesh Molei. It seems logical to apply Rav Din only when it's a Chodesh Molei, when you have it was a 30-day month, and it's a 2-day Rosh Chodesh. So after all, so you miss the Yalav Yavoi in Maariv of the first night, okay, you'll have the second night to say it. Aval b'chodesh chosem achziru noisei. But if it's in a chodesh chosem, there's only one night Rosh Chodesh, then Amema says machziru noisei, then you should have to go back, because there's not going to be another Maariv of Rosh Chodesh for him to say it. Almalay Rav Ashi Lamema, but Rav Ashi says Tamema, no, Mechti Rav Taimakama. After all, Rav is giving a reason, that fact that in Makadshin is a Chodesh Balayla, therefore Mali Chotzer or Mali Mali. So who cares whether it's a Chodesh Chotzer or a Chodesh Mali? It's not a matter of that you're going to have another night to say it. It's a matter of that night is not really considered part of a Chodesh. In that sense, because the only Makadosh Chodesh next day. Ela Loishna, so Rav Ashi says, therefore, there's no difference either way, you know, whether it's a Chodesh Chotzer or Chodesh Molei, either way, you don't repeat Shemana Esther if you didn't say Yalav Yavad. Tosfos further discusses over here that maybe what we should say is, maybe there's a difference. If it's a Chodesh Molei, maybe there should be a difference between the first night and the second night. Because after all, the first night they weren't yet Makadosh the Chodesh, but the second night was already after they were Makadosh.
Right.
However, Tosfos says, it doesn't seem proper to make that distinction. The Gemara doesn't make any such distinction, so we shouldn't. And that's how it is. In Shulchan Aruch, there's no distinction. Whether it's a one day or Chodesh or two, whether you missed the Yalav Yavah on the first night or the second, either way, you do not go back on Shemana Esrei. If you realize before you finish the bracha or say, then you go back to Yalav Yavah. Otherwise, you don't.
That's interesting. Even though there is a new moon, but it wasn't seen.
Doesn't matter whether it was seen or not. But even if the Edom saw it, they're not giving Eders and based it until the next morning.
Right.
Okay. Hadron Shaka. Let me just have a few more minutes. We can start the next chapter. Mishnah says, Ein Omdin Lispalel Elamitech Koved Rosh. We don't, when it comes time to stand up to daven Shemana Esrei, we should be doing it with Koved Rosh. Koved Rosh literally means a heavy head. Rashi translates it as Hachna, means submission. The person should feel that he submits to Hashem, that they subjugated to Hashem. There's other mafoshim also explain it means literally the person should act as though his head is heavy and he has it bent downward a little bit, like we were saying before. The person's eyes have to be facing downward. There's an explanation of Pichsidus that's brought from the Mizutra Magid that he says, the idea is that the Rosh over here represents the Shechina, and Koved Rosh means the difficulty that the Shechina has. The primary purpose, he says, when a person is davening, should not be for his own tzrachim, for his own needs, and what have you. It should be the fact that the Shechina is in Golos and is feeling pain, and is feeling heavy, so to speak.
We daven because
the Shechina is in Golos. That's the primary focus that we should have, not so much that I need Parnosa and I need Boni Chayim, Zona, and whatever else, but rather, yeah. The Alter Rebbe says something similar, although he says that COVID, he says the Rosh over here refers to the neshamas of Jewish people collectively.
No,
right. Well, different angle on it. I mean, the Shechina sometimes is associated with the totality of the Jewish neshamas. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Chassidim harishonim harishonim sha'achas mispalin. The early Chassidim would wait for 1 hour when they came someplace to daven Shemana Esrei. They would first wait for an hour. During that time, they would be thinking about the greatness of Hashem or mispalin, and only then would they daven. This way, they'll have full kavanah to Hashem. So this is where we get the concept of learning chassidus before davening, and yeah, to a certain extent, Sukkah de Zimra and everything else accomplishes that. The Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya that then and the place of chassidus it talks about that Sukkah de Zimra is to develop an ava. Sukkah de Zimra is to develop an ava of Hashem. The brachas before Shema and Shema itself is to develop Yira, and then you come to Shemana Esrei.
So the Sukkah de Zimra is ava.
So I may have that backwards, actually. I may have that out of order. But between Sukkah de Zimra and Shema, yeah, you're developing, you're doing, yeah. Okay. Afilu hamelech shoyel b'shloim lo yishivanu. Continues the Mishnah. When a person is davening Shemana Esrei, even if a king is greeting him, he shouldn't answer him. We'll see in the Gemara eventually there's a difference in a Jewish king and a Goyish king, whatever. Even if a snake is wound around his heel, he should not interrupt Shemana Esrei. Interrupt Shemana Esrei for this purpose, Rabbi Yona explains, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, means to talk and to tell somebody else, please get the snake off me. But you're allowed to actually go, you're allowed to walk in the middle of Shemana Esrei in order that the snake should fall off. Walking is not considered a hefsek.
During Shemana Esrei,
we're talking about. So walk, you're not supposed to just walk down the road, but here, when you're walking for a purpose, then you're allowed to. But to tell somebody else to take it off, that not. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks, where do we know this from? That Shemana Esrei has to be the COVID rush with the feeling of seriousness and achna and whatever. Because we see by Hannah, later on in the parish, we're going to learn that we learn a lot of dinim of Trila from Hannah, and it says by her, when it says that she stood up to daven, she was bitter in her soul. So we see that a person should be feeling a certain merirus, a certain bitterness, a certain seriousness and heaviness. So the question is, the question is, but how do we know we should learn it from Chana? Duma Chana Shiny to have a Mirita Libra Tova. Maybe she was a special case. She was feeling very bitter because after all, she's davening after Penina was harassing her and everything, and she'd been childless for 20 years. So maybe by her, it was a special case. Especially, it says, Vihi Maras Nafesh. She was Maras Nafesh. Maybe it means everybody else doesn't have to be. So Marshall says that, yeah, even though we're learning many dinim later on in the Perek, we're learning many dinim of Tefillah from Chana, but maybe this particular one is specific to her. No, you have a possibility.
She was davening for a need.
She was davening for a need, fine, but the point is, okay, but no, actually you have a sikha where the Rebbe talks about, where the Rebbe explains the whole dialogue between her and Eli, where Eli thought that she was drunk, and she says, I'm not, and there's a sikha where the Rebbe explains that the argument between them was, that Eli is saying, it's Rosh Hashanah, what are you doing davening for your own personal needs? You should be davening, and she tells him, but I'm davening for a child that I will be able to dedicate, that I will be able to give over to Hashem, and therefore that is a tzorich of Hashem, so to speak. Okay. So, I, with your great chesed, will come into your house. I will bow to your holy heichal in your fear. So we see that Rabban Amalek is saying in this pasuk that you have to have yira when you're davening. So the question is still mimai, who says that that's meant for everybody? Well, in other words, these are all different aspects of kovod rosh. Kovod rosh literally means heaviness of the head. So again, Rashi said bachna, a feeling of humility, of submission. So maras nafesh is one part of that, and yira is another part of that. So the question is, mimai, Dilma David shiny to have Matsayo Nafshe Barach Mitrova. David was going to the extra mile to be Matsayo himself and then daven for extra Rachman from Hashem. Who says that he's meaning that for everybody? And again, since he says Va'ani Baroy Chastachal, maybe it means it's his own personal Anoga. It's not meant for everybody.
How would you use the Matsayo Nafshe?
Because we find that he would focus an extra, an unusual amount on davening. We see that, yeah. Ela Amar Rabbi Shlomo Levi Mehocha. You have a pasuk that says, "Yishtachu Hashem b'hadras kodesh." Bow to Hashem in glory of holiness. But Al Tichu b'hadras ela b'cherdas. Don't read b'hadras, but rather b'cherdas. Cherdas means in trembling. So Tosfos says, "Yeah, but that same pasuk continues. Chilu Hashem kol aretz. Tremble before Hashem the whole world." Why don't we quote from that? The Tosfos says because the word when we're quoting over here, the words "Yishtachu Hashem b'hadras kodesh" you have in a couple of places in Tillim. But we're not quoting the one over here from Kapitel Tzadik Vav of Tehillim, because that one's not talking about davening. We're quoting the line, Yishtachu Hashem b'hadras kodesh, from Kapitel Chofetz. We said before that the 18 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei correspond to the 18 names of Avaya that are in that. We said that the themes of the first three brachas are merumas in the first two psukim of that Kapitel. So therefore, we're continuing. Chofetz. So therefore, we're continuing. When it says Yishtachu Hashem b'hadras kodesh, it must be telling us about a way to daven Shemoneh Esrei. And Marsha adds that since that pasuk therefore is talking about davening Shemoneh Esrei, unlike Kapitel Tzadik Vav, which is talking about coming to the Beis Hamikdash, so it can't mean in the glory of the Beis Hamikdash. So we have to doubt that instead it doesn't mean glory; it means in the trembling before Hashem. So the question is, Mimai, still, how do we know that that's it? Duma la'olam emel hadras mamash. Maybe actually the word is supposed to be hadras, and we can say that applies even outside of the Beis Hamikdash, because he holds it of Yehuda, like we find the example of Rabbi Yehuda. Having a tzayin nafshe, he would put on his best clothes, v'hoder masli, and then he would daven. So we see that there is a concept of davening to Hashem with glory, with making yourself as beautiful, as nice looking as possible, which could be the meaning of hadras. So where do we still see that there's a concept of davening with yira or meriros or whatever? Ela amar of nachmei tok mehacha ibdu as Hashem be yira v'gilu bir ada. The pasuk says, serve Hashem with fear and be happy with trembling.
It says
ivdu as Hashem yira. And here you can't say it's David's personal hanhaga because he was saying ivdu. He's saying to everybody else, you should serve Hashem be yira. So we see that there's a concept. You have to serve Hashem. You have to daven with a sense of yira.
It says, Izu Hashem b'simcha, Izu Hashem b'ira. How can you have both together?
That's the Vigilu Bir Adar, which actually, so my Vigilu Bir Adar, so what does the pasuk continues? You should be happy with trembling, so what does that mean? Amrav Adar b'masna, Amar Rabba, b'mkrim gila shom tehera Adar. In the same place where you have the happiness, that you're happy, you have Avas Hashem, you're happy to be able to be davening Hashem, Shom Tehera Oda, but at the same time, there has to be trembling, there has to be a feeling of Yira, which is that on the other hand, the person realizes what he is relative, what he is relative to Hashem. So therefore we see that you need both. You need both. You need the same kind. You can have actually the Alpha in Tanya, the Alpha Deva brings at the end of Perek Lamadala, that you have the expression from the Zohar that you have a Chedvat Kiya believing in Sitra Da, Kiya believing in Sitra Da. You have happiness and sadness at the same time, and that's in the Zohar over there. For example, you had Reb Shimon Yichoi had taught a deep thing about the Churban. Sort of Elazar, his son is sad about the Churban but happy about the new Torah that he heard. So Alpha Deva says that you see that those two emotions can coexist. So you're sad, because Apsolus is a very bad thing, Alpha Deva says, but you're bitter over where your Nefesh of Bahamas is. But on the other hand, you're happy because you have a Nefesh of the Kist and Hashem and yeah. In fact, by the way, you can find in many of the Tilos Hashem Siddurim in the back, they have two letters from the Alter Rebbe, one to the Chassidim in general, and that letter talks about that apparently in the Alter Rebbe's time, there was some Chassidim who came up with the notion that Simcha during davening means that means litzonus, you sit and crack jokes or whatever before you daven, and that way you get yourself in a good frame of mind for davening. The Alter Rebbe says absolutely not. Litzonus before davening is an absolute no-no. The kind of Simcha you need, and we're going to talk about Simcha before davening tomorrow, we'll talk about in the Gemara, is the Simcha that you get from a mitzvah. But not Simcha of Hurim. Not Lathonis or whatever. But you also have to have it at the same time. You have to have it with you. You have to have it with Yira.
So what comes first in
davening? So you have both. I mean, you have Abba and you have Yira. But you have the different levels of Abba and there's different Yira, as it says in Tanya. There's different kinds of Yira. So
does one have to precede the other?
So yeah, it actually talks about there's lower Abba and then there's lower Yira and then lower Abba and then higher Abba and then higher Yira. So yeah, there's... Yeah. You have Yira as the lowest kind of Yira where a person is afraid of getting punished by Hashem. You have a higher kind of Yira where he's afraid to disobey Hashem. You have the highest kind of Yira where he's embarrassed that Hashem should, so to speak, catch him doing an Avera. So yeah, you have many different kinds. Okay. Fair.